We're continuing our series on the gospel. Series on the gospel. And just by way of review, I just want to kind of remind us again, it's been maybe about two or three Sundays now. We haven't quite gone over this, but we want to remember again what the gospel is not, in case we start slipping on some things there. What the gospel is not. Again, the gospel is not telling someone that if they come to Jesus, they can get meaning for their life. Sounds really good. Have you noticed that when we tell people about the gospel, we're like trying to convince them or make them feel good or make it palatable for them? You know, it's like trying to serve someone ice cream and cake to try to start them on the road to eating healthy. Because ice cream and cake tastes good, but that's not starting you on the road to eating healthy. Telling someone that if you come to Jesus, you can get certain benefits is not the gospel. You can have peace of mind. That's very appealing because there are so many who do not have peace of mind. Amen. At all. Amen. There are billions. There are close to 8 billion, approaching 7 or 8 billion. I've lost count on where they are with that. But they're probably, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 billion that do not have peace. That is a very appealing aspect to tell someone, hey man, come to Jesus, man, and you can get peace for your soul. But that's not the gospel. Even as true as that is, it's still not the gospel. Telling people God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have all of your sins forgiven. Telling people, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess and believe and you'll be saved when you do so, is not the gospel. Detailing the violence that Jesus suffered, first through the violent beating that he took before the cross and then the cross itself, going through all of the detail of what happens to a person who is being crucified. Notice the word of God goes through none of that. They beat him, they crucified him in the story, because that's not the gospel. I believe everyone in here has a great testimony. Amen? A great testimony. Even a great testimony, as spectacular as it may be, is still not the gospel. It does not save. So what are you saying? When you say that having a personal relationship, you can have all your sins forgiven, the plan of salvation, the violence Jesus suffered, telling them they can get meaning and purpose for their life, have peace in their soul, why are you elaborating and amplifying and magnifying over and over that it's not the gospel? Because then it doesn't save. Do you understand that? It's important to understand that those things won't save the person you're talking to or the family you're ministering to at the time. It won't save them. That's why I rarely even talk and ask people about, are they saved? Most folks don't know if they're saved. And if you ask them why, they're done. I don't know why I'm saved. Or if they do, 99% of the time, they're going to recite their deeds. I'm saved because I'm a good guy. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cheat on my wife or my husband. I don't do this, I don't do. You become a Pharisee. I fast twice a week, I give my tithes. That's what they was reciting to God. To God of all people, their good deeds. Why are you a Christian? I don't know. Because the preacher told me? Because I was baptized. Baptism doesn't save. We've gone through that year after year after year. Why are you saved? Well, I ran to the front of the church. I answered the altar call, and I said what they told me to say. And after I said it, they said I was saved. So they know more than me. Wow, really? You want to go on the word of another human being that you, your eternal salvation is secure because somebody else said that?
Thank you, Jesus.
I think you want to rethink that. Amen. You don't want no parts of that. Yes, rerun, but again, went to Word of Faith. Word of Faith has an expansive stage or whatever pulpit, and it goes, I don't know, probably if you were to go outside of this, down there, tree right there, yeah, go to that tree and come on in and through and probably go to the wall over there, something like that. That'll cover the entire front of the stage. And there are times where there are people all in front of that, sometimes maybe two and three deep some on certain Sundays. I'm talking about 40, 50, 60 people answering an altar call. Take them to Romans 10:9. Repeat this after me. Confession in the mouth. Jesus, Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead. You will be saved. Now, if you mean it in your heart and you really mean it, you'll be saved. The word of God says so. Boy, boy, if that isn't a verse out of context, I don't know what is. There's way too much you, when you take that out of context, you have disconnected it from the Bible, from a lot in the Bible. There's a lot in that verse that if you don't unpack, you're doing a great disservice to that, to those 40, 50, 60, one person. Because even if one person is misled, that blood is on the hands of the ministry. And you know more than one person per Sunday is being misled all over the world. Sin has knocked out our ability to know that we are saved. Sin has knocked that out. Well, how do you know if sin has knocked it out and you can't know on your own? Okay, I gave it away. On your own, you can't know if you're saved. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 8. I love the Lord. He takes us whatever way he wants to go. None of this was. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and I think it's verse 16. Romans 8, 16. Make sure everyone has this before I even start. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I want everyone to have it, so I'm going to wait. If you have it, lift a hand. Okay, not every hand went up, so I'm going to wait. And when you do get it, raise your hand. I want every eye. Thank you. Thank you. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit. I don't know if your Bible has it, but that's a capital S. It does have a capital S in the translation. So who is that, y'all? The Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. The Spirit himself, personally, testifies, some say witnesses, testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You can't know on yourself. You have to have the Holy Ghost tell you that you are a child of God. Why? Because if your heart tells you, and I feel it in my heart, I know it in my heart. What did Jeremiah say about the heart, my biblical scholars? Deceitful above all things. And in the King James, desperately wicked, literal Hebrew, incurably sick. So no way you could ever trust your heart for any decision. Now, when we are redeemed, some of that is mitigated, but it doesn't redeem your flesh side. So you can't know it in your heart and feel good about that, because that's scary. And thank God he knows. So he realizes, I got to tell them that they're saved, that I saved them, because they won't know that they're saved. unless I tell them. Because good works is not, don't mean salvation. I go to church, so does the devil. In fact, the devil's church attendance is triple times better than millions of the children of God. We taught at the family reunion when we was in Buffalo a couple of years. The title was, we taught it here too, was, I don't know, reasons that don't necessarily prove that you're saved, something like that. And it was things like going to church, pastoring, ministering, singing in the choir, being an usher, all those things that you would say, hey, I'm saved because I'm an usher, I'm a deacon, I'm a pastor. I've been pastor for 20 years. None of those prove that you are saved. All right, you done messed me up now, so you need to talk to me then. What am I supposed to say when somebody says, how you know you saved? Good, now that I have your attention. Because don't go reciting your works. I'm saved because the Spirit of the living God told me I was. He resurrected my spirit from the dead. And then he told me I was. And then he gave me the desire to want to live for him. For his glory. Even at my own expense. My desires don't matter. I just want to live for him. No sinner will ever utter those words. My goal is to live for the glory of God. And as a result of him raising me from the dead, and as a result of him gracing me with that desire to want to live for him, I have peace. And there's a plan for my life. And I have a great testimony. And all the other things. Those are the results of salvation. Not salvation itself. And I'm going to tell you some saints of God here this Sunday morning, here at Word of Light. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse that and believing in salvation. That's why we're going over it again today. Because to do so, to do what? Confuse that as being salvation is dangerous. It's dangerous. Why? Because you can give your testimony, and that person feels so good about it, and without you coming behind and say, hey, but that's not the gospel. Sit in, let me give you the gospel now. Without you doing that, and then walking off thinking, maybe that they are saved, can be very dangerous. You don't ever want to pronounce to somebody as a human being, you a human being telling another human being that they are saved with gavel-dropping certainty, because you don't know that. At least not at the instant. Now, over time, that's what one of our duties is as shepherd. Poimen is a Greek word, meaning shepherd, meaning we are to nourish and feed. And our other role is bishop, episcopos. And I know you heard this many times, you'll hear many more. It's unfortunate that the church here, well, churches throughout the world, have turned that term, bishop, into some sort of elevated status within the presbytery, within the ministry. When in actuality, it is another role, it's another qualification, it's another quote-unquote job requirement of the pastor. You heard it many times, bear with me, the word bishop in the Greek is episcopos. That's a Greek word. The word episcopos. Now, if you take this word, it's a Greek word. Epi, and then scopos, which we get our word scope from. It's a compound Greek word. Episcopos. Epi means over or or above. It's a preposition. Skopos, where you get scope from, means to watch. Put them together, episkopos, to watch over, to watch out for. We're to watch over the flock of God. That's our job. That's why I tell you, be careful who you're listening to. And I know you all don't report to me on everyone you're listening to, so I don't know if you're getting garbage in your ears. I don't know. But I pray that if you hear something crazy or that you're not certain of, I hope you just don't go start following behind it. I hope that you'll come to me. Man, I heard something. What you think? And let me watch out and watch over you. And then by doing that, I'm going to poimen or shepherd you by feeding you what is right, guiding you the right way. Yes, that's our job. That's what we do. And it's painful to tell you, but my father did not do that. And he died at the age of 46. He fasted too long. What's on his birth certificate is he died of malnutrition. My father was a very bright man. He was a self-made man. He was the perfect Southern gentleman. If you were to look up the word Southern gentleman, his picture would be there. He was a very bright man. He was working on his doctorate. He was going into medicine. Very bright. But he's no match for the most subtle beast of the field. And if you aren't led properly, even a bright, brilliant man can get caught up in the wrong thing and get your life taken at a young age, leaving 5 children and a young widow. I take my job very seriously.
Amen.
But you got to give me a chance to do it. If you're hearing something crazy, you need to let me know. I know you all get tired of hearing me, because those of you who've been here 20 years and all these years, you may not want to listen after you leave here to Word of Life sermons online. I just heard this dude. I'm tired of this dude. Hey, I give you that. But I caution you strongly, be very careful who you do listen to if you don't listen to Word of Life. Be very careful. It has nothing to do with me while I'm telling you to listen to the Word of Life. I know here the truth lives. I know here Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here the Word has the preeminence. It has its premier place here at Word of Life. So because of that, I tell you to listen to the Word of Life. But if you dare venture out and listen to others, please have your Holy Ghost ears on and be very discriminating. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Think about verse 18. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Here's our episkopasing, if you will, our bishoping, if you want to turn bishop into a verb. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. That's not me saying that. That's the Lord God commanding the people of God. When you come up under a leader, a pastor, the word of God commands you, obey them, submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls. That's why church attendance is so important. One of the many reasons. I can't watch over you if you're never here, if I never see you. I understand there are things that happen in family, this and that and the other, but every effort, you need to make every effort to be here. Out there is a dangerous place apart from somebody watching out for you, looking out for you in Jesus' name, always looking for your best interest. We watch for your souls. Let's keep reading. As those who will give an account. What do you mean? Because I got to go to God on behalf of you based on what I've seen. I have to give an account to God. And Word of Life, please live the life that God has commanded, that I may do it. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you if I go to God and have to give him a negative report based on what I've seen. I take this very seriously. I call it a job just because I don't know what else to call it. It doesn't feel like a job. This calling, this ministry, this assignment that God has afforded me. Very serious. And those of you who feel that call, realize it's very serious. And one of the things that you must lock in on is first your life. It must be right. The 17 qualifications given in both Thessalonians, I think, and Timothy. 17 qualifications. That's a lot of qualifications. He ain't messing around with it either. I'm the watch for your souls. And I better know what I'm talking about. And I better be living right. You don't want a charlatan watching for your souls. You don't want a hypocrite watching for your souls. You don't want somebody ill-informed watching out for your souls. Because I'm coming to you for the right information. And if you don't know, and you're trying to lead me, and you're living foul, and you're trying to lead me, then where does that put me? I have a responsibility. You are my responsibility. Someone asked, do you have church membership? No, I don't have a church membership classes. If God sent you here, then that's in membership enough for me. Now, what I do is start watching. I start episcopacing. It's not a word, but we're going to turn it into one. At that point, I start bishoping you, right? I start watching. Watch your attendance. I watch how you locked in during church, during the service. I watch your participation. And not necessarily participate per se, but when you do participate, I watch how you participate in things around here, helping to set up and things of that nature. I'm watching. Because that's what I am supposed to do. And when I'm afforded the opportunity, I listen. Are you talking crazy? Sometimes you go to some of these meet informal we have, you know, the ladies or the men or the singles or whatever, and you hear some of the craziest. Lord, have mercy. I was talking to one person, and they had been a Word of Life for, and they were talking crazy. I said, you know what? I don't believe you are even saved. They were talking so crazy. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. You, when you're hearing craziness, I got to have the boldness to speak it out. I can't let that go. That's too crazy. I don't think you know who God is at all. But when I asked them where they saved, they gave the company, especially if you're black. Yeah, oh, I'm saved. Saved by Christ at an early age. And I, you know, hey. That's our song and dance. We've been trained, and one thing is, you go to a black funeral, almost everybody accepted Christ at an early age. Am I right? Dude, brother was killed by 9 people because he killed 9 people. Am I right, JR? I remember walking to the funeral. I'm walking to the funeral, Papa. And I said, I know, I'm with JR. He said, man, we surrounded by killers. I'm just being real, Miss Millie. You done killed 5 people. You done killed. Did I just point them out? Even Miss April. And they're doing the casket to kill them. We, as pastors, and I don't know, Miss Harris might be used, but we punking out
so much that we don't want to offend the people. And you'd rather tell them a lie to satisfy them and dishonor and blaspheme God and His Word rather than telling them the truth and offend them and make sure that the Word of God is not blasphemed. When a pastor sees things that are not right, he better speak on it, because that's what he's there to do, to watch out and watch over. I hate that this word has been, which means bishop, has been turned into some sort of elevated status. And even the bishops aren't doing their job as a bishop.
Watch out. Yes, sir.
They're not watching out. They're not watching over. I used to want a large church. Who didn't? Because you didn't know no better. It just made you feel and look successful that you had 500 people, 1,000 people. I ain't lazy. I just understand the realness of it. Trying to watch out for 500 people, 100 people. Hey, y'all are challenged at times. We just got 25 people. Get on the phone. Me and Sister Alana have sat up in the middle of the night, missing it, just sitting up there, just sitting there. Eyes this big, because we just got a terrible call. You remember that, Sister Alana? Just sitting there. It's 3:30 in the morning. We were stunned. We don't like those calls. If a pastor is real, he's not a hireling, as Jesus called him in John chapter 10. If he's not a hireling, someone who just comes along for the money, then he's gone, because you've been trained enough to know. If somebody came up here and they were just interested in just kind of being seen and so forth, you would know that in a heartbeat. I like to think you've been trained enough to know that. Like, this dude, where he come from? Why is he here? Pastor, you slipping. He shouldn't have never been in front of us. I don't know how you got way over there. We're talking about the gospel. Oh, knowing. No. You need to know how you got saved. The pastor better tell you so that you can go out and get somebody else to answer. Don't recite your good deeds. That's not why you know you're saved. Good deeds are a result of you being saved. Hear what I'm saying? Good deeds don't save you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good deeds are a result of you being saved. That's what I'm watching for. Now that you are saved, supposedly, let's see. Because there are going to be works to follow. You're going to live a new life. You've been raised to walk in what? Newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. In the Greek, a new species of being that has never before existed. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new, and everything now is of God.
Amen.
You've experienced that.
Yes,
Lord. I love her testimony. I love the Mack truck analogy. You don't wonder as God slapped you in the head, changed your life. It's going to be obvious. Yes. Such as if you stood in front of a Mack truck on 94, you're going to be quite different after that Mack truck hits you.
Amen.
There won't be any wondering. It's going to be crystal clear. Your change ought to be that clear.
Amen.
So it's easy for me to episkopos your life. I should see it in high definition.
Amen.
I'm saved because God saved me. I'm saved because I couldn't save myself.
I'm saved because I was a sinner. I was born a sinner. I couldn't save myself. I'm saved by the grace of Christ. I'm saved through faith in Christ. I'm saved because of Christ. That's why I'm saved. Because of what he's done. Don't go reciting what you did. Because of what he's done. The old psalm was saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. My life is sweet, my joy is complete, because I'm saved, saved, saved by his power divine. Remember that one, Mother? You sing that bad boy in the 60s. Mid-60s, singing that song. Well, they had the song right back then. Now you got all kinds of stuff on. I don't know what all they talking about. You got to listen closely. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, let me just say, that might be discerning. If half y'all probably didn't catch it. Just Melinda Carter. But she's my wife. She better catch it. They ain't doing a good job of teaching my wife, amen? Grab a song sheet. Everybody grab a song sheet. I'm going to show you something. You got one? Okay. Grab a song sheet. Here you go. Get it. Grab a song sheet, please. Look at the song Forever. The song Forever. Papa, you got one? No. So somebody get Papa one, please. Okay. All right. Yeah. Look at the song Forever. Okay, look up here, y'all. The second column. Okay? And the first section of the second column. It's, okay, let's read down here. One final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God laid in darkness. A battle in the grave. No.
No.
No fighting in the grave. Ain't no God fighting the devil. The devil ain't no match for divine eternality. Are you crazy?
No.
There's no battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. It was already broken. When Jesus said on the cross, what, Miss Harris?
It is finished.
What?
It is finished.
It is finished. I was telling Sister Landon back there, yeah. But right, it is finished. On the cross, when he said it is finished, the power of hell was forever broken. There was no fight in the grave. Because you're talking about spirits. Here you're talking about the eternal God fighting a created being. You don't have to fight him. You just speak a word. Boom. You don't believe me? Turn to Revelation.
Yes.
19. He just opened his mouth. Everybody gone. Just by speaking. But it's little things like that you got to have a discerning, you know. You follow what I'm saying? He's the most subtle beast of the field. And this is a classic example of why I don't recommend, because there are many things that other people are saying that you're not catching. Because you're not, you just, I mean, let's, you know, just don't have that ear yet. You know, I've been studying the Word of God by His grace and mercy since the mid-80s. Some of you still don't study it. Now you glance at it, hear a few things, distracted while you're listening. But deep listening, where you're ingesting that word, gobbling it, gulping it down. And so when things are said, not only do we know not to reject it, we may be like, you know, that sounds kind of slick. You know, yeah. Really? I want, word, Father God, I pray that Word of Life become over analysts to everything in life, everywhere, about everything. That they keep on their biblical glasses and see everything through a biblical, scriptural, godly worldview in Jesus' name. That's what I pray for you. You overanalyze everything that's going on around you. Everything. Not only just sermons, but life, period. Conversation around the coffee table, in the walk break room, family, analyze everything. Does this line up the Word of God? Am I disagreeing? Because I don't want to argue, get Uncle Joe mad.
then walk away from Uncle Joe. Or if the Lord is telling you, speak to Uncle Joe and let Uncle Joe walk away from you.
We're not here, me, pastors, we're not here just teaching you just to know yourself, just so you can know it for yourself. We talked to that many, many times. It's for you to be ready to give an answer to anyone else who comes at you with, man, why you believe what you believe? Why you so strong in during these crazy times? How in the world can you believe that? Let me show you why. Let me tell you why. This life is not my own, first and foremost. Yes, I'm living for the glory of Christ Jesus. It's not about me. Me having the peace you see is a collateral blessing. Instead of collateral damage. It's a collateral blessing. Me having been graced with the desire to want to please my Heavenly Father, as a result of that, I get peace from that. But I'm not living to get the gifts from God. That's the problem with a lot of Christians. We're seeking His hand, meaning what He can give me, rather than His face, who He really is. And if you aren't taught, if you aren't reminded and taught and reminded through a teaching ministry, and reminded and taught and taught and reminded, you'll slip back into seeking His hand before you know it. I said before you know it. You go back to, God, what can I get from you? What can I get from you? I don't care about you. I just want what you can give me. Don't be like America after 9/11. Yes, God bless America. Bless us, but we don't want nothing to do with you, God. Did America suddenly turn religious? No. Bless us. And let's be more specific. What was the blessing about? Protect us so this don't happen again. That's really what they were saying. We don't care nothing about you. We're going to still do our homosexual and our lesbian and our... We're going to still fight for same-sex marriage, because none of that was on the table in 03. Just a few years later, all of that is on the table. They didn't want God. Never did. Just protect us. We don't want you in our lives. We only want what we can get from you for our benefit. And you know what? That's scary when that mentality carries over when you become a Christian. That happens again. I'll do my thing in church because I'm in front of the people. I know how to raise a hand. I know how to say hallelujah. I know how to hold on to the loo because I sound real. Because just saying hallelujah, that sounds like you're a rookie. Hallelujah. He ain't been in church. And so you listen, you know, you play the tape back. Hallelujah. And you're in the mirror practicing. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's, wait a minute, that look. No, that ain't the look. No, that ain't it. Yeah, that's it, that's okay. Hands up, let's see, yeah, let me get it right. And so you sound good. You sound good, you look good. But I was telling Brother Lance, man looks at the outside. So you can look good for us all the time. But God sees that heart. And the fact that you may feel good because you're a fooling man, that lets you know something is very flawed in your thinking. Because you're not living for man. If you are, you've got this thing way twisted. Because if you're feeling good that I can fool man and I can keep fooling man while living a shoddy, shady, shifty, shaky life in front of God, you either are not saved or you're getting some very bad teaching. Because your conscience ought to be just ate up right now. Letting you know what, that's not it. There's no way the Holy Ghost is going to let you feel comfortable. Just feel comfortable being hypocritical before God. Amen. While you're fooling man. Amen. The Holy Spirit in your spirit. Because not only does the Holy Spirit witness or testify to your spirit that you are a child of God, He's going to witness and testify to your spirit that as a child of God, you're living like a child of the devil. He's going to also witness that to your spirit. He's going to let you know both sides. Yes, you're a child of God, but you act like the child of the devil. Mm-hmm.
and I'm going to jack you up. I'm going to give you headaches. I'm going to disturb your sleep. I'm going to jack up your stomach. I'm going to pump up your heart rate. All that happened to me.
Yeah.
Stomach get jacked up. Heart rate start going crazy. The price of a teaching ministry is absolutely priceless. You can't put a dollar amount on it. I'm talking about a proper teaching man, one that's teaching the word of God the proper way, and the pastor's living right before God. Unfortunately, that's there aren't a lot of churches like this one.
No, sir.
Unfortunately, there aren't a lot. I'm talking about in the scheme, even if there was 100 of them. If there are 2, 5, 6 million worldwide churches and you got 100 of them living like this, that's not a lot.
Amen.
It's not like I'm not around you so I can like live any kind of way. I got a God that's watching me. My Father's still watching when you're not around.
Amen.
Yeah,
and pastors don't seem to understand that. According to this armor bearer, whatever the heck that come from. Anyway, according to this armor bearer, I guess one who really takes care of the pastor like real close, I guess, you know, some made up title. But according to this one particular armor bearer, I told you this before, he's a famous, I will not mention his name because the Lord hasn't let me mention his name. And so I won't mention his name. But if I mentioned his name, you would know this person instantly. But the armor bearer would drive him around. He would come out of the pulpit after preaching, walk right into the back of that vehicle, and he would drive him straight to the strip club, straight there. I get scared. He just telling me the story. And it ain't no lightning gonna come near me, but I'm scared. He's just telling me the story. And I know that a wrathful God, For God to let that person live, and that happens on a regular, shows his immense grace and mercy and compassion. And as we're teaching on Wednesday, but we take that compassion and we take that grace and mercy and we use it for weakness. Or it ain't that deep because I'm still alive. You ain't killed me. When you go into a church, you don't know what the pastor's doing. When you go into a church, your Holy Spirit in you will let you know more than likely if stuff is just really crazy in that church. Because it's like going into a house when the husband and wife don't get along. You can just sense the, oh my Lord, it's hard to be up in a house. You can be sitting at a table in a restaurant. And next to y'all is a couple. They ain't saying a word, but you over there just blew out. You can't hardly even eat your food. He's like, man, just get to me to go, man. I can't even take it. Because you can sense it. Same thing in the church.
Amen.
I remember one guy walked in, and the preacher made some crazy comments. My man, he let it be known. Now. He got up and said, oh, no, and stomped out of the church. I won't even say what the preacher said, because it had some sexual connotation behind it. The preacher stood up, you know, said some things, and he's like, oh no! Stood up, stomped out of the church. It's scary, word of life. Unfortunately, it's getting worse because 1 Timothy lets us know that many are going to depart from the faith and give heed or pay attention to spirits that will seduce them. Believing in doctrines of devils. Be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful what you listen to. And I'm telling you, this is not a knock. I just know that a lot of you in here, you're not doing it to my level. I know that. Don't be offended by it. It's just a fact. As a matter of fact, as a pastor, I better tell you that. So when you think you just tight enough to go listen to just anything, I'm telling you, you're not. And I better tell you that and not blink when I tell you that. And you better watch yourself. Because you don't know who you're listening to. And you don't know what they're saying. And if you don't know how to be discriminate and discriminating into what people are saying, just that little slip there, that The battle in the grave, it could be something just a slip of that. You just amen and amen. Rerun, teaching again. I told you how gullible people are.
Yes.
Case in point, you've heard it, hear it again. Bishop Keith Andre Butler, pastor Word of Faith. He was like 18 or 19 years old, sitting on the roster. And the preacher who was his mentor was preaching. And the preacher got him going up in a frenzy. Got him going. And they had him going and just going crazy. The preacher knew at that point he had him. He turns to a young Keith Andre Butler the first and says, "Watch this." Turn back around and start preaching on food. Collard greens, cornbread, sweet potato, and it just kept right on shouting. He just reciting a menu, a soul food menu. And they kept right on shop. No discerning, no listening, nothing. Remember when your daughter asked you, good message. Miss Darlene, Miss Abel asked, what was the message about? When the Lord spoke through Miss April to ask her mother, Miss Darlene, what was the message about, it slapped Miss Darlene right in the head. Because she didn't realize that she didn't even know what the message was about. We used to go to church like that all the time. And we said, boy, so what's good? Oh, man, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, man, yeah, yeah. All right, I'm waiting. Yeah, man, yeah, yeah, baby. You feel me? No, I ain't feeling that at all. Because you ain't saying nothing. Well, he had a good robe on, and the robe was soft. Okay, what was the message about? Cause I don't know, man. I just felt good. Really. Mr. Lance, can you live on a good feeling? When we say Monday morning come, remember we changed to Sunday afternoon? How about after church? It's coming. Am I right, Ms. Cheryl? This life gonna come crashing in. You can't live that word of life. We feel good here. It's just wonderful. We're kind of insulated. But we're not here to rub on each other's head and tell each other stuff. We gotta go out there. You gotta go back to Starfish. You gotta give them the parents and look, you're sowing to the lives of the little ones. You gotta deal with all your big 900 people family. Miss Minnie got a huge family. We got assignments. Even the quiet ones got assignments.
Amen.
We got fam that don't know nothing about, excuse my bad, but they don't know nothing about God.
Amen.
And the only God they know about is you.
Amen.
And they're watching your life.
Amen.
And you better not slip up. Yes, that's a threat from the Holy Ghost through me. Because you're going to do much damage to the word of God. That it be blasphemed, it's gonna be evil spoken of, it's gonna be discredited because of your lifestyle, because of my lifestyle, because of our lifestyle. It's way too important, way too much on the line. You are to never relax. I say you are to never relax. People are always watching you. You're being watched on the job, you're being watched in the streets, driving down the streets, highways, whatever. You're being watched in the stores, standing in line, waiting. And the person up above is taking too long, and you starting to tap your foot. I wish they come on. You can't start singing. You can tap your foot if that keeps you calm.
Yeah.
Tap your foot, then start running your mouth.
Yeah.
You are always testifying or always being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. The world is a jury and you're the one witnessing. And Jesus Christ is the one on trial. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Because I want you to see that once the Holy Spirit has come upon you, look at the very first thing that's gonna that you're responsible for once the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Look at the very first thing that he mentions in order. And remember, pay attention to order all the time, because God is a God of order. God has got a purpose. God is a God of reason. Lists and orders of things mean something. The first thing he mentions once the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you have received his power is, he says, and you shall be my witnesses. I want you to look at that. Your life is not yours to own. It's not yours. And notice one other thing. I go back to Miss Mealy's testimony. Quiet Miss Mealy. To the one who the Lord had to bring and show himself strong in her and save her. He, the Lord, moved on her, who you would have thought had been the least to ever do this, to come up before none other than family at a funeral and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He called on her to be a witness in front of her family. That witnessing, that testifying never stops until you are dead.
Amen.
Then you will have ceased from your labors. Does that make sense? Amen. Right now, we're on an assignment. And everyone in here has multiple assignments. One of them is always to family. One of them is always to family. Secondly, you have, most of us have a job of some sort. Secondly, living it out in front of the job. Thirdly, just public life, grocery store, bank, at a ball game. I remember having to watch, you know, when Brooke and Brianna were playing, you know, I can't be in the stands just going crazy. Or when I was coaching, you still are under that microscope. You are still a witness. You're still on the witness stand. Testifying of who Jesus is and who you are as a representative of that Jesus. The question is, who is this Jesus? Who is this God that you so faithfully believe in? First of all, I hope we're living a life so that they'll even ask us that. Why do you believe what you believe? Talk to me. Because I don't get it. I'm scared every night. I don't know if some more planes come into some buildings. I'm scared of biochemical terrorism. I'm scared every night. I know there are billions scared every night. Why are you so calm? Why are you so peaceful? Those opportunities to testify what the Lord has done. I don't know what we call this title. I don't know what you're going to call this. But I know some good information.
Amen.
That we needed to hear.
Amen.
We're not our own. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm trying to end, but it ain't working. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Reading out of the New King James. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Do you not know that? You not know that inside of your physical body is a spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do you really know that?
Yeah, no. No, I don't. I mean, I kind of know it, sort of. Let's be real. I'm trying to answer for all of us for real. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I can understand with my ears as it goes into my ears. So I understand it from that point of view, but really understand it. No, I don't. I have no idea that God, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of me. To the point that he's calling my body his temple. That ought to scare you out of seeing forever. It doesn't, but it ought to. You know, the Holy Spirit is hanging with me? Yes. You just read it. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Me and the Holy Spirit lives in me, or he just visits? If you're saved, if you're born again, he lives. You mean he doesn't leave when I start acting up? No, he doesn't. You mean when I'm seeing things I ought not to see, hearing things I ought not to hear, doing things I ought not to do, he's still right there with me? Yes. But you thought he was visiting? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always. I'm not going nowhere. The Holy Spirit is in your body. And I don't think we understand that. I really don't. He lives there. He ain't no uncle that has come to visit for a week or two. He lives there. When you were born again, he came in then. And he's been in there ever since. Your body, Father God, help us to get this in the name of Jesus. I think we're breaking in something right now because I think we're hearing like we ain't never heard it before. Help us to get it. Revelation, turn the light on in Jesus' name. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be holy. Temple. It didn't say that's a house. Temple. Implying reverence, holiness. Do you not know? And he had to ask it like that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, in case you don't know where it came from, who you have from God, and you are not your own. What's not your own? You are not your own. Your body, your spirit, your mind, your thoughts, nothing is your own. Nothing belongs to you. This is slave talk, my black people. It's another thing, folks, run away from this verse. I don't care. Be offended. Whoop-de-doo. I didn't choose this language. You are not your own. Look at this. For you were bought with a price. That's slave talk. Jesus bought you. Jesus bought me. Jesus bought all who belong to him. And he paid with his blood. The price was what? His life, his blood, the shedding of his blood. Therefore, as a result of all of that, what is therefore? Remember, therefore means as a result of, looking back at, as a result of what? You're not your own. Holy Spirit lives in you. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And in your spirit is added, or translates. Glorify God in your body because it's his and not yours. You don't belong to you. You belong to him. Understanding that, that's why you don't have the right. I don't have the right. We don't have the right to do whatever we want to do. We have the ability. Thank you, but not the right. Sometimes we get it confused. Just because we can do something means we have the right to. That's not correct. We're able to do whatever we want to do. But we don't have the right to. Why? We don't belong to us. We belong to him. We're bought with a price. And we just read that. We just read in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. That we are now witnesses. Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions local, regional, national. I didn't go through that part. You'll be witnesses of me. In whatever area, whatever city you're in, whatever region you're in, whatever, and international. You don't get a break.
ain't feeling good today. Shoot, man, I'm finna do me today. You don't get a break to do me.
Amen.
And the first day that the devil sells that lie to you, the first day he sells that lie to you, is the day that the Lord has somebody looking at you, been looking at you for 10 years and offering you. On the day that you do me, you done messed that person up. I had no idea JR was watching me in the barbershop for a while. Had no idea. We don't have to have an idea. Just obey God.
Amen.
I didn't know they was watching me. You don't have to know they're watching you. Well, dang, man. I don't know if I like this here, man. I want to be able to do my own thing. You got to think, because you want to say, you want to call them some names. So I had to cover my own mind because some thoughts came in my head like, you, we just read that you are not your own. When you became a child of God, you are a child of God. You've been bought with a price. You are now on the witness stand for life. Everybody's watching. Period. You are now welcome to the fishbowl. Right? Glass fishbowl, you can be viewed from top, bottom, sides all the time. Welcome to the Holy Ghost fishbowl. Your assignment is to live right no matter where you are, what you're doing, where you are, who you're in front of, all the time. You don't get a break to not be righteous. You don't get a break from righteous living. I'm tired. Okay, he said then don't be weary and well doing. There's a verse for that. I'm tired of doing right. Okay, don't be weary and well doing, for you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't give up.
Yeah.
Little Greek for faint is you'll reap good if you don't start doing wrong. Faint not means to do wrong. You'll reap good if you don't start doing wrong. Don't give in to your flesh to want to start doing wrong. Because what the devil does, he sells you, he says, you know, doing wrong is more appealing, it's more liberating. That's the word, I hate that word, because it's liberating. I mean, just do what you want to do. That's what that word means. I'm talking about in the secular. You'll do right, you'll receive right if you don't give in to the temptation of doing wrong. Didn't say it was easy. He said fight the good fight of faith. And sure, it's hard. It begets hard at times. Fight said agonizomai. Fight the good fight. Keep fighting. Knowing that if you lose, you get your eyes gouged out. Fight. 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 Keep fighting. Don't let the liar, the devil, lie to you. Saying, hey, the grass is greener on the other side. Man, enough of this. Did God really say? And I know he speaks up just like he did to Eve. Did God really say? It ain't that deep. It don't take all that. That's a smooth lie there. It don't take all that. You ain't had to be that diligent. I mean, everybody can take a break every once in a while. All work and no play. Make Jack a dull boy. All the lies. And the moment you slip up and tear up your whole family, tear up a whole church just one time is all it takes, then he's laughing at you, walking away from you. Don't fall for the okey-doke word of life. Hear the Holy Spirit, please. It can sound so good. The lies he's telling you. And it's not obvious. It's not like he's saying the devil is Lord. It's nothing that clear. Clearly wrong. It's just something that just, it's a little tinge of wrong in it. It's not real obvious if you don't watch it. Just like that verse in that song. Just go right through it. And you know, we don't went right past it. Father God, help us to be extremely discerning. And Father God, as what we're talking, this is a word.
I don't know if one or more are in here, you're thinking of some things to do, or you're being tempted more and more in a particular situation. But I'm asking you to push them to greater discernment about what it is they're contemplating that they might do. I thank you that they'll hear your voice, recognize your voice, honor your voice, embrace your voice, and the voice of a stranger, they'll hear and they'll hear that voice, recognize that voice, but they won't follow it. They hear your voice, they'll follow your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. They hear, recognize that it is strange, and they won't follow. I thank you that they're led, influenced, dominated, and controlled moment by the Holy Spirit. And they'll make God-honoring, Christ-exalting decisions so that the word of God won't be blasphemed. That's what I pray, Father, for whoever is in a more extreme fashion under temptation to do evil. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.